You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Praise God, hallelujah. Well, you know, you lived your whole life for this service.
Amen.
Your whole life has brought you to such a time as this. Think about it. All that you've ever done, all that you've ever been, all that you ever believed, all that you ever prayed, all that you ever read, all that you ever studied, all that you ever seen happen in your life and experienced in your life has brought you to this day, to this point, to this time. You were born for such a time as this. And you know, we ought to make the most of it. I love Brother Osteen used to say this all the time. He'd say, heaven's high, hell is hot, and life is short. You know, and I'd always think about, you got one shot at this deal, you got to give it all you got. We're only going to live past through this life one time. That's it. And when we leave this life, we're going to heaven, we're going to hell. Now, we're going to heaven today. I know that. We're in a group of believers and saints. Goodness, anybody turn out weather like this, you've got to be saved. You've got to be saved, really serious about Jesus. I appreciate you coming. Amen. But I got a future, and you got a future. Amen. And it starts now. It starts right now. So we got to start believing. You know, we got to start standing on the Word and trusting God and realize we have an enemy out there. You know, we have an adversary, the devil. Walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. Not to be fearful of him. God doesn't tell us that to scare us. He tells us that to sober us up. He tells us that to be aware, to be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So he gives you instruction, tells you what to do. A lot of what we find in church really is we get instruction, we get insight, we get some commandments, we get some admonitions, some prohibitions. That's good. I need that. I need to know what way to walk. I need to know what to do, what not to do. It's just as important to find out what to say as it is what not to say.
That's right.
What to do as it is what not to do.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
And that's good. I need that. You need that. Why is that? Because life's a battle. Mm. We're fighting a fight here. There's an enemy out there. He wants you, your wife, your husband, your children, your soul. He's fighting for the soul of your city and your nation and on and on and on. And so it's important that we be sober, stand at our post, stand on guard, that we endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that we fight the fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, whereunto you are also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. So you just be aware of that fact. You know, we're not looking for a devil under every rock. We don't think everything's a demon. I mean, you know, some people, if you bite your fingernails, they think you got a fingernail biting demon. Hello. I believe in demons. I believe you can cast them out. But, you know, in the Bible, it's pretty obvious when someone had one, they'd be screaming out, rolling down the floor, throwing themselves in the fire. They didn't have a twitch, you know. Come on. We blame the devil for everything. I was preaching one time in Chauvin, Louisiana. Everybody say Chauvin.
Chauvin.
That's down below Houma. I don't even know if it's still there now after Katrina. But anyway, it was way, way down there. And I was preaching in St. Paul Christian Church. The pastor's name was Leroy Champagne. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, they lived on the bayou because they come by your house. That's why they call it the bayou. I was preaching in this church and this lady got up. This lady got up. I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to tell you something. Okay. I'm already reverting to South Louisiana. But anyway, I was preaching, and this lady stood up at the back, and this was years ago, and she says, pray for me. I went down by the liquor store, and the devil made me go in there and made me buy that liquor. Well, now, wait a minute. I believe we have a devil out there. I understand that. And I believe he tempts us, and I believe he pulls at us. But see, you give in or you don't give in. That was an old comedian that coined that phrase. Flip Wilson says, the devil made me do it, you know. My grandmother told me about that, so I don't know Flip Wilson. Never heard of him. But the devil may be behind him. He didn't make you do it. Are you with me? And that's why God gives us instructions, so we can be aware, so we can make good decisions. Are you with me? And choices. And of course, I told that lady, I said, the devil didn't make you do that. I said, you decided to do that. And if you repent, God will forgive you right now. You know, and she did, thank God. In fact, really, I pray for people to get saved and people get baptized with the Holy Ghost. There were so many people in that place, I couldn't have them come up front. There was no room. And so I prayed for that lady way back in the back to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. I don't know if that was a good idea or not, because she got it. Man, did she get it. She's back in the back hollering and shouting and jumping, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done? But anyway, God can reach you at the back. So that's, I want you to know that too. Anyway, we got a battle going. I want to talk to you this morning about temptation and the tempter, and clarify some terms give it sense and give it meaning. That's what the Scripture tells us to do as teachers and ministers, is to give the sense and the meaning of Scripture. God said He'd give you pastors after His own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. I think that's my main job as a minister, is to feed. That's what a shepherd does. And then to guard, of course, and guard and govern. But mainly my job is to feed, to make sure you're getting the Word. Make sure you're hearing it right. Make sure we're getting it straight, our doctrine straight, our teaching straight. Because if your doctrine's not straight, your life's not going to be straight. If your teaching's not straight, your life's not going to be straight. And you know, you can know someone by their fruits. The Bible says, know those that labor among you. Consider the end of their conversation, their life, their faith, their confession. And I think that what speaks more for me and of course Brenda is our family and the church. I can say whatever I want to, but as the years rock on, you begin to see whether we're really believing God or not, whether we're really living holy or not. And what we need, holy living. We need people that will live holy. We need ministers that will live holy. You need to live holy.
Amen.
Are you with me? And your life testifies of what you believe and what you've committed to and the principles you live by. And people in the end will say they saw Jesus in you. If you do it right, that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, I want people to remember Jesus in me when it's all said and done.
Amen.
I want them to see Jesus in me, remember Jesus in me, and know that I made a mark and made an impact for God. That's what I'm interested in. I want to make a mark for God. That's it. I want to make an impact for God. I want people to come to Jesus because of me.
Amen.
And not go away from Jesus because of me.
Yeah.
And that takes commitment to live a certain way, talk a certain way. And you got to realize who's for you and who's against you. God's for you. The devil's against you. You got an enemy. You got a battle going on out here. You got to be sober. He's subtle. He does all kinds of things to bust up marriages, to break up marriages. He does all kinds of things to get people out of the ministry, out of church, get people out of serving God. And he's just real subtle. But you know what? We can be aware of him, and we can run him off when he comes. He's going to keep coming, but we can run him back off again.
Amen.
I mean, he's going to see. The Bible doesn't say that you will never be tempted. In fact, it says you will be tempted. What it does say is that you don't have to give in to it.
Amen.
You're not going to reach a point where you're not tempted. I mean, new levels, new devils.
Yeah.
You get over one thing, I mean, something else, the devil comes and hits you with it. But the good news is, you can keep standing on the Word, you can keep believing God, and you can keep winning.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Matthew 4. Found it? God didn't tell you to turn there? Matthew 4. Here, just talking about temptation, to find some terms and maybe kick over a few sacred cows. We usually do that too. Sometimes we have these religious ideals about temptation and about God's part in it, the devil's part, and so on and so forth. But I think what clears it all up is God's Word. Amen. Would you agree? I mean, you've heard things all your life. I have too. You could say, well, I believe this, and I could say I believe this, but that doesn't really make it right. What makes it right is when you find it in the Scripture. So that's why we always go back to the Scripture and find out what God says. And examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith or not. Have you been believing correctly? Is your concept of God right? Have you challenged your faith in light of the Word? You ought to, because that's the only firm foundation you have is God's Word.
That's right.
Opinions change all the time. Opinions, they're like elbows. Everybody's got a couple up, you know. And they don't matter, really. What matters is what God says.
Amen.
Here in Matthew 4, classic instance of temptation took place in Jesus' life. It says in Matthew 4, chapter 1, verse, and then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. To be tempted by the devil. I articulated that on purpose.
Yeah.
To be tempted by the devil. Who tempted Jesus?
The devil.
Okay, so here we find that the devil tempted Jesus. I mean, Jesus wasn't tempted by God. God did not tempt him. It says to be tempted by the devil. Next verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. This is supernatural, obviously. You don't fast for 40 days and not get hungry until after. Are you kidding? I'm hungry right now just thinking about fasting. We can just talk about a fast and everybody gets hungry. But this was supernatural, obviously. And the Bible doesn't advocate us going off a 40-day fast. I believe in fasting. I believe God will deal with you, take a day or two aside and set aside for the Lord to pray, to seek His face, you know, and to cut out food. I mean, that's proper and biblical and scriptural. 40 days fast or not, those were supernatural. When Moses went up on the mountain 40 days, that was a supernatural fast. Supernatural, Jesus wasn't even hungry for 40 days. Come on, you know that's supernatural. I mean, that's got to be. But anyway, having said that, it says, afterward he was hungry. Third verse, now when the tempter came. Everybody say tempter. Now who would that be? Okay, so who has that title? Right, okay, the devil has that title. Satan has that title. That's his job. That's his office. His calling, as it were. It's not God didn't give him the calling. He did that by rebellion, okay? That's the calling of everybody that's in rebellion, is to tempt you, okay? And that's a rebellious thing. That's not a God-given calling. That's someone who's out of the will of God. So to be tempting is not God's will. Now, if it is, give in to it. But honestly, God tells us not to give in to it. He tells us how to overcome it. He tells us how to combat it. Are you with it? He tells us we're going to be tempted. But he also tells us to pray that we enter not into temptation. In fact, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he says that. The very same thing. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus went to pray, the disciples went with him and they all fell asleep. And he woke them up. He said, pray that you enter not in temptation. He said it in Matthew, he said it in Mark, and he said it in Luke. So temptation wasn't something we were supposed to give in to. Well, God's taking me through this. No, God's not taking you through it. He's wanting to pull you out of it. He's wanting to give you the way out of it. You're going to be confronted with it, and that's part of life. And we're going to be tempted, that's part of life, because we have an enemy, we have an adversary. And you know what? We can get stronger, stay with me on this point, we can get stronger in the midst of it if we believe God. It doesn't make us stronger. Believing God and trusting God makes us stronger. Some people say, well, that temptation just developed character in my life. No, it didn't. You trusted God when the temptation came, and God's Word developed character in your life.
That's right.
You said, this trial happened, and this test happened, and this happened. It made a better man out of me. No, it didn't. What made a better man out of you, or a woman out of you, is that you decided to pray and believe God when that happened. For every person that believes God when a tragedy happens, there's someone that doesn't, and they turn out worse. There are people who get worse in tragedy. There are people who get worse in temptation, who give in to temptation. There are people who have a crisis in their life. It destroys their faith in God. Are you with me? Now, I'm submitting to you this, that it was the choice they made in the middle of the temptation or the tragedy or the crisis that either made them bitter or made them better. That either made them stronger or weaker, brought them closer to God or away from God. The trial didn't do it. The tragedy didn't do it. They chose to believe, and God's Word made them stronger. That's where God gets glory out of something bad. That's where God turns something bad into something good. But let's don't get confused. God doesn't do the bad. But He can get good out of bad if you'll believe. And the good comes out of it is you getting stronger by trusting God, by believing God, by using your faith. The thing's not good, and the thing's not from God. See, God's not confused here. He's not confused. It says the tempter came. It didn't say God came. It says the tempter came. And we don't. And God, and the devil's not God's hitman. He's not hired by God, under God's employ. Well, God sent him. No, he didn't. The devil is in rebellion to God. He's in total rebellion to God. He's going to burn in hell forever. You better believe it. I mean, Jesus said, "I'm so glad you came. I know God sent you my way. Let's sit down and have a talk." Oh, are you kidding? Jesus used every time the devil gave a temptation to Jesus, Jesus would quote a scripture back at him. And there was nothing that the devil brought that was to be given into. Nothing. Everything he gave, everything he did to Jesus was to pull him away from God and into himself. You know, through the flesh, food, through the soulical pride, jumping off the temple, and then ultimately worship. You know, worship me and I'll give you all these kingdoms, you know. No, we worship God. And there's nothing wrong with supernaturally getting food, but there is something wrong about using magic to get food. And turning stones into bread was not something that you see in the Bible. That didn't even fit God at all. That didn't fit, didn't have the aroma or the taint, the color, the scent of the Creator. When God makes bread, He makes it out of bread. When God makes a bunch of fishes, he makes it out of fishes. We don't turn pumpkins into coaches and rats, white mice into coachmen. Those are fairy tales. I mean, when God does a miracle or a healing, it fits creation. When God heals a leg, it walks. When God heals an eye, it sees. In fact, it's amazing when God does a miracle or a healing in the body, the body's like everybody else's. There's nothing really miraculous about a leg walking. That's what legs are supposed to do. There's nothing really miraculous about eyes seeing. Eyes are supposed to see. And so the miracle of healing the eye takes place, but once it's done, it fits creation. The eye sees like everybody else's. The legs walk like everybody else's, because that's what they were made to do. The bread, the little bread, becomes much bread. The little fishes become more fish. Are you with me?
Amen.
And you just gobble them up and they taste like the other ones. They fit. They just fit creation. Water into wine? Well, all water turns into wine that gets into the ground under a vine. He didn't turn a tree into wine or a rock into wine. You say, we got water out of the rock. Well, water comes out of the ground. That's not that off if you're looking at even the Old Covenant. I mean, the miracles of God fit the Creator. They have the aroma, the scent, or the touch, or the flavor, or the mark of the Creator. You don't have fairy tale miracles in the Bible. They're not there. Are you with me? So really what the devil asked him to do is something out of character. Something out of whack. See, really, miracles are going on every day. This is the problem with us. Is that when we see bread on the table, we forget the little red hen story. All bread's a miracle. It just takes a little longer to get it than it did when Jesus multiplied it. And when we see fish on the table, or at Red Lobster, or wherever it is you eat fish, you know, you miss the miracle. Because you just, somebody went out there and netted it, caught it, brought it in, so on and so forth. And it came from another fish, right? That came from another fish, that came from another fish, back to the first fish. And I'll answer this question real quick before the chicken came before the egg. But anyway. That's right. God made the chicken, then the egg came. Okay, so you've been wondering all your life, now you got that answer. But see, we miss the miracle because it happens maybe over a long period of time. Wine is a miracle. It comes through water, through vines, through grapes, crushed, fermented, all that stuff. But we miss the miracle of it in the process of time. But all of a sudden, when God does it real quick up front, we see it. We go, wow. But really, miracles happen all the time. We're looking for the spectacular, missing the supernatural. Every piece of bread is a miracle. Every fish is a miracle. And you know, when eyes pop open and they were blind, we think, that's a miracle. Listen, hey, every eye is a miracle. Every seeing eye is a miracle. Every walking leg is a miracle. When I got up this morning, I got up and I'm a miracle. Hallelujah. Tell myself that. Look in the mirror and tell myself, you're a miracle. But anyway, no. But see, we miss it. We miss the miracle because it's familiarity. We get used to it. It's all around us, slowly happening. But when it happens real fast, all of a sudden, whoo, man, that's God. You know. But see, God's working all the time. All the time. And he's not flaky. He doesn't do things like turn rocks into bread. Are you with me? And so those temptations, if you look at them, they're out of whack. They're out of character. Even the devil tried to use some scripture, but it was always out of context. You ever notice that? And the devil, and Jesus would always come back to the devil. This is how you overcome temptation. He'd come back to him with Scripture. Always. It's how you overcome temptation. Jesus said, and I quoted it several, he said it three times, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Actually, Luke, he said it twice. But when the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, pray that you enter not temptation. So, now insight. I can pray and keep from going to that liquor store and getting that fifth of whiskey.
Yeah. Right.
What? Yeah, when that temptation, that urge comes, here's what you need to do. You pray. You get on your knees and say, God help me in the name of Jesus. I am going to overcome this. Father, I thank you that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I think I'm righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I resist this. I submit to you, God. I resist the devil and he'll flee from me. Pray. Start using the Scripture. It may be lust. It could be. I mean, it could be anything. I mean, I have no interest in delving into the wickedness of sins here. But whatever the sin may be, if you will begin to pray when that pull comes, when that temptation comes, you will not enter into the temptations. And if you will begin to combat it with Scripture, when a thought comes, replace that thought with the Scripture. See, there's insight. There's instruction now. Now I begin to see how I can overcome this. You might have a weakness in another area. You know, everybody has a pull in different areas. That's why we can't point the finger. That's why we have no stones to throw.
That's right.
Some things may pull at me, don't pull at you. Some things that pull at you, don't pull at me. That's why we throw our hands up sometimes. I just can't believe so-and-so did that. Yeah, and they're probably thinking they can't believe what you did what you did. Because they just don't have a problem in that area. Now, I'm cautious to say problem, weakness, because what I'm saying is they're sins. But some of us have a bent, a proclivity, a propensity to some things more than others. Are you with me? It doesn't excuse you. Don't make the excuse of saying that's my weakness, that's yours. This is my devil, that's yours. We all got our devils. Well, you need to kick that devil out. That's what you need to do. You need to recognize the pull and attack that thing in Jesus' name. And get aggressive and stand in faith and resist it. But you resist it by getting in the Word. You resist it by finding out what God says, by going over and over what God says, saying what God says about you and about yourself. You don't have to sin. There's hope for you. You can overcome this thing. You can fight this thing. You can beat this thing. But you need God to do it. And if you'll get God on the scene, if you'll let God arise, His enemies be scattered. This temptation, bear in mind, keep it straight. Now, there's no question, this temptation is from the devil. I got good news. You got power over the devil. See, if you can identify where it's coming from and then begin to realize you got power over the devil in Jesus' name with His Word, then you can resist this thing. Don't buy the lie you got to give in to it. Don't buy the lie you have to keep doing it. Yeah, but I do keep doing it. Don't buy the lie you have to keep doing it. Don't live in the past. Let's break this thing. Let's believe God. Let's stand in faith and let's get the Word of God out on this. Let's confess the Word of God on this thing. Let's submit to God and let's resist the devil and he'll flee from us.
Amen.
Now, hold your place. Well, just turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Just to drive this point in, hammer it in, chisel it in. This helping you? I just want to help you this morning. 1 Thessalonians, I mean, you're serious. You're here on a day like today. My goodness. 1 Thessalonians 3, notice what it says in verse 5. For this reason, this is Paul speaking to the church of Thessalonica. He's saying, for this reason, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and your labor might be in vain. Everybody say, the tempter. Okay, he's called the tempter because he tempts. Isn't that correct? I mean, a football player would be somebody who plays football. We call him a football player because that's what he does. And if we were looking for someone that plays football, we would try to find a football player. I know this is first grade stuff. Stay with me. We often say God tempts us, but you know, that would mean that God tempts. Wouldn't that mean God tempts? And if God tempts, then God would be the tempter, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he be the tempter? But he's not the tempter. That's not what the Scripture says. The Bible says the devil's a tempter. And when we see temptation in the Bible, it's always the devil that does it. And we quote, you know, we'll quote that Scripture in, was it 1 Corinthians 10:13? You've not been tempted. There's no temptation such as common to man. But God is faithful, who always with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And here's how we quote it. God will never put on you more than you can handle. You ever heard that? I hear that all the time. But that's not what that Scripture says. It didn't say God put anything on anybody. It says God always makes a way to escape with a temptation. It didn't say He tempted. In fact, we know from the Scripture He doesn't tempt. We know the tempter is the devil, not God. So what does God provide? The way to escape. Isn't that right? Okay, let's read this again. I'll turn to that verse just to... Well, 1 Thessalonians 3:5 says, lest the tempter, but he means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. So you kind of destroy the work of God by giving in to the temptation. The labor of God's in vain. The work of God doesn't work. It doesn't produce in your life because you're giving in to the temptation. I'm telling you, you don't have to give in to it. You can stand up, you can fight this thing, you can win this thing. Amen? Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Y'all getting something out of this? Temptation. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't prove us. I'm just saying He doesn't use evil. He never uses evil. He never. You will never, ever be tempted by God to do anything wrong, ever. Sure, God pulls us to commitments and so on and so forth, but not through sin, not through... Hello? And we know God tested Abraham, but not in an evil sense, not in a temptation sense. What did He tempt him to do? To leave his wife? What did He tempt him to do? To go kill someone? To go rob a bank? No. It was his commitment that God was pulling. Would He give his son or not? That's totally different than temptation as we know it. That's not God testing us in the sense of sin or whatever the case may be. To be tempted to sin, God's not doing it. God's not working something out in you. God's not trying to teach you something. You need to recognize, you need to be aware, you need to be sober, you need to be vigilant, because that's your adversary, the devil, who's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he's trying to devour you. You need to resist him steadfast in the faith, is what the Bible
Amen.
Says.
That's right.
Resist the temptation. It's not good. It's not going to be any good in your life or your marriage or your family or your church. You know, if I yield to temptation as a minister, do you realize the effect that would have on you? I wouldn't just ruin my family if I yielded to lust and ruin my marriage. I mean, what would I do to the church? What would I do to the cause of Christ? Get the big picture here, people. It's not just you. It's all of us. I need you to serve God. You need me to serve God. We need each other to stand up and be counted. Hello? Now, that's no condemnation. If you sin, God forgives you. And we have no stones to throw. We don't hate you. We're not against you if you sin. The admonition is come on out of the sin. Repent. God will forgive you. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, Jesus said, I'll give you rest. God's not a condemner, but God doesn't advocate sin. He wants you to live holy. And He gave us tools to do it. Hallelujah. He gave us the ability to do it. So here in 1 Corinthians 10, that we're told to turn to. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10, notice what it says, 13th verse. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. I think that's good. Well, I'm a special case. No, you're not. I'm sorry. Whatever's happened to you is probably happened to somebody else. Whatever's happened to you probably happened again. I mean, come on. It's just it's life. We live in a broken, fallen world. Nobody's special here. We've all been tempted. All of us. No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. In other words, the temptation is one thing, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. Okay? And here's where we get all confused. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able with the temptation. Everybody say, with the temptation. So people take that to say, well, He tempts and He gives with the temptation a way out. Well, no, that's not what it's saying at all. He's saying when the temptation comes, He gives the way of escape. We know He doesn't tempt because the Bible says He doesn't. And we know who the tempter is. It's the devil. Who tempted Jesus? What was He called?
Tempter.
What did Paul call Him?
Tempter.
The tempter of Thessalonica. So temptation is not from God. It's not of God. So what is of God and what is from God? The way out. Oh, hallelujah. That's better preaching. Y'all are shouting. So there's never a temptation comes where there's not a way out. The devil will never come tempt you without God providing a way out. And the devil will never tempt you because God won't allow him to do so. He will stop him at the point he crosses the line. He will not allow him to tempt you above that you're able. So if you're being tempted, you can overcome it. Doesn't mean you will, but you can. Hello? It's going to take some work. It's going to take some help. You may have to get us to help you. You may have to get some brothers and sisters to believe with you. Are you with me? You may get some agreement. Get some people to pray. You need to change your fellowship. You may need to get in church. Oh my, yes, you might need to get in church. You might need to start hanging around those people that are doing those things that you're being tempted to do. Oh yes, that might happen. I can guarantee that'll happen. If you don't quit hanging around those people that are doing the things you're tempted to do, you will continue to do them. Because the Scripture is very plain about come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, have no fellowship with the unrighteous works of darkness or sin and darkness. You have to get new friends and new fellowship and new family. You want to know the truth, they're not your friends anyway. That's a good friend taking you straight to hell, isn't it? No, a friend's going to take you to heaven. Oh, man, I'm getting hard. I'm getting mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I want to help you. I want to love you. I've been there. Listen, none of us got stones to throw. We've all been in sin. I've been in sin. You've been in sin. Come on. But there's a better way. And Jesus is that way. And there's a way to overcome. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, I before I got saved, I was in drugs and jails. And, you know, I mean, so I've got no stones to throw. I mean, there's hope for the alcoholic. There's hope for the drug addict. There's hope for the adulterer. There's hope for the fornicator, the person living with someone. You know, that's sin to live together. That's not right to live together. It doesn't matter how popular it is. That's the temptation you gave into. Here's what you need to do. Repent before God. Ask Him to forgive you. And God will forgive you. And it may be that y'all can get married. You need to get, maybe that's the person you need to marry. Fine. Get married, but don't live in sin.
Amen.
Hello. You say, why are you saying that? Because we live in a crazy world. That's why. Because this stuff goes on every day, and we're hit with it on television, and we're hit with it with our friends, and my goodness, it's just okay, and it's not okay. I love you. I love you. I'm for you. God loves you. He's for you too. He wants you to live holy. He wants you to live right because He wants to bless you. You got to live right to be blessed. Woo. So no temptation is taking you such as common to man, but God's faithful. Aren't you glad God's faithful? See, here's the good news. God's faithful. Start looking when the temptation comes. Start looking for the way out. Start looking for the road out. Hallelujah. Start looking for the answer. He is the answer. You know, Jesus didn't condemn the woman caught in a very act of adultery in John the 8th chapter. He didn't condemn her, but you know what He said? He said, go and sin no more.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. See, I got good news for you. You don't have to keep sinning. You can go and sin no more.
Yeah, amen.
Isn't that good? Yeah, a couple of you think so. Okay. Who will always with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I just can't handle it. No, you can't handle it. You can't. Now you're going to have to slap yourself. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to call somebody, baby. You're going to have to get the scripture out. You're going to have to believe God. But I tell you, you can't handle this. You can do this. You can do it. Don't let the devil lie to you. You're more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He always calls you to triumph in Christ, and He gives you the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus did not come for you to fail. He came for you to win.
That's right.
And whosoever is born of God, the Bible says, overcometh the world. Now, we may not be doing it, but we can. It may need some work. Yeah, that's fine. Start working on it. It's worth working on it. Amen? You may need to make some commitments in your life. That's fine. You need to make some commitments. Make some good ones. Come on. Get with your brothers and sisters. Let's strengthen each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's live for God. Let's make a difference. Let's see the glory of God come. I want to see the anointing of God come in my life. And I need to stay in tune in order for that to happen. It's not that I've worked my way to a miracle or worked my way to anointing, but I tell you, if I live holy, my faith works better. Faith works by love. It doesn't work by sin. And so if I quit the sinning and start living holy, then my faith begins to work better. Then the anointing begins to flow. Woo.
Hallelujah.
But I got to realize, listen, I'm going to be tempted. Everyone's going to be tempted. You're not immune to that. Even as a minister, I'm tempted like anybody. And I have to always stay on guard. I have to watch my heart. I have to watch what I see, watch what I hear, all those kinds of things. I still have to make stands, you know. Sometimes it's a little embarrassing in the natural. Sometimes I'm a little nervous about it because I know people are not going to understand. They're going to think I'm a fruitcake, you know, or a nut or something. Well, really, I mean, you know, well, if you say something about that, I'm going to think you're crazy. You're just being unkind and cruel. No, I'm not being cruel. I want to live holy. I want to please God. I don't want to just let all that junk get in my head and in my face and, hello. And I don't want them to think that's okay. I want them to know there's a better way than that. That's the thing. If I care for anybody at all, I'm going to live right. You're not being nice and kind and sweet and caring when you allow someone to continue just to kill themselves and shoot themselves in the foot every time they turn around. Are you with me? You don't have to be cruel and mean, but you do need to make a stand. Hello. I mean, we're... Boy, this is challenging. We were at a football game, Texas Stadium, you know. And goodness gracious, man, I'm telling you, you talk about pit of sin.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just the pit of sin. I mean, people drinking and cussing. And, you know, when this guy was in front of us, and he turned around and he was happy, but he let out some cuss word. And Brad was beside me. Thank God for a godly son-in-law. He said, "Hey, man, watch your mouth. I got my wife with me." And the guy turned around and says, "I apologize, man. I didn't mean to do that." I mean, Brad stood up, you know. You don't have to put up with all that.
Right.
So I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to say anything. Are you kidding? Stand up and say something.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, love them. Don't you're not hateful. I'm not being hateful. I had a guy on the job one time. And I used to witness this guy all the time. This is years ago. This is before I became preacher. Okay. And I witnessed this guy all the time. I witnessed several guys on the job. Don Murphy was one of them. He's pastor in my hometown. I witnessed him for 3 years. But there's another guy that used to give me a pretty hard time. And he would do it in front of everybody. Tell a dirty joke or start cussing in front of everybody, you know. Well, I was knew it knowing I'm there. So he just embarrassed me. And so I decided, man, you know, I'm going to stop putting up with this. You know, I've got on to him about it. And so he did that one time, and I tell you how I stopped it, completely stopped it. I just walked up to him, put my arm around him. I said, "You know what? I know you talk that way, and that's fine. But, you know, you're doing that in front of all these people in front of me. So I'm going to tell you about Jesus in front of all these people. And I want you to know Jesus loves you. And he doesn't hate you, but you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior." And I said, "Anytime you talk like that in front of me, I'm going to come right up to you in front of all these people." And I did it right in front of everybody. And I said, "I'm going to tell you about Jesus." Wow. He never did that again in front of me. That just stopped it. I just got fed up because, you know, you can argue back and forth and holler. And I said, "No, you know what? I'm going to make a ministry out of this." And I mean, he just quit it completely. Because it embarrassed him. He knew he needed to get right. He knew he needed to get saved. And conviction began to fall, see. I could sense it falling when I said that. And nobody else said a word either. They didn't want me to put my arm around them. That's what it was. I was coming for them, you know. And I hadn't always been that bold. But, you know, you got to be bold about serving God. If you want to see miracles and get people saved, there's a boldness involved in it. No, we're all tempted. See, we're all tempted. In that case, I would have been tempted not to say anything. I'd have been tempted to just let them go ahead and continue. See, and that's wrong. That would have been wrong. And I can overcome that temptation. And so I decided to do something about it. I decided to look for the way out. And God showed me a way out.
Amen.
And I took it. And it worked. Hallelujah. Turn over to James, first chapter. We'll close this out. This helping anybody? Just, you know, walk holy. What's wrong with holy living? My goodness, what has gone wrong with holy living? I do not understand. I hear people talking about grace. I believe in grace. I believe in mercy. But grace doesn't mean that just live any way you want to. That's, no, come on. Grace is what saved you when you did live that way. Grace is what covers that sin when you repent of it. Grace is not sloppy agape. You know? It's just, grace. God is love. Well, God is love. I agree with that. There's no question He's love. But did you know the same Scripture says God is love, says God is holy, and also says God is good. So if you say the essence of His being is love, that's incorrect. It's not. Because the essence of His being is also holy. The essence of His being is also good. I've heard people say, well, God does many things, but God is love. Well, God is many things. God, it doesn't just say God's love. It says God is holy. God is just. God is good. It doesn't say God does justice. God does good. God, are you with me? It says He is. So He is all that. Does He do that? Sure He does, but He also is that. So you can't separate and pick out one thing and say this is He does all this, but He is that. No, because it says He is all these other things too. The same Scripture says He is love, says He is good, says He is just, says He is holy. And then it says He, of course, does those things. Oh. Let's get a balanced view here. Amen? And you get that from the Scripture. See, that's what the devil did. He tried to twist Scripture. He'd use one a little out of context. But Jesus kept coming back with it in context, see? He put it in context. And contextually, course God's love. Thank God he is. Of course, thank God for grace. We'd all be going to hell without it. But thank God for holy living too. Amen. Praise God. James 1st chapter. You found it?
Amen.
We'll wrap this up. Don't get through. We'll just quit. Thank God we got power over the devil. Amen.
Amen.
Think about it. If it's from the devil, temptation is, we know it is. And we have power over the devil, then all we have to do is assert our authority, as it were. Pray, believe God, stand on the word, and we won't enter temptation.
Amen.
Amen. Now don't say I got to give in to it, because see, then you're not taking advantage of what God said. God said you had power over the devil. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith." So we've got instruction, and we got power over this devil. Brother Don Murphy preached one time here about treading, power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and he talked about the word tread. Of course, tread just like the tread on your foot, treading down. And he says, you know, in a pasture, if you have cows out there, you notice how they all walk in one little lane. They just, you have a cow trail. And even animals, wild animals, do the same thing. You can find hog trails. You can find deer trails. I mean, in the middle of nowhere, you'll find a trail where they all walk. And the reason you find it is because there's nothing growing there. The reason there's nothing growing there is because they keep walking there. And you can have a dog in a yard, and he's got this one spot this wide, as long as your yard, going to one spot back and forth and where the grass at. The whole yard, he's got to walk in that one spot. You know what I'm talking about? What he's doing, he's just continually treading it down. So by continually treading it down, nothing can grow. Now the Bible says, "I give you power, serpents, scorpions, all the power of the enemy, nothing shall be anyone's hurt you. I give you power to tread upon." Tread, that's a daily, that's continually. So the devil never gets a foothold because you're continually walking that word, see? And so every time he sticks his little ugly head up, you just step on his head, just like that, see? Well, the Bible says he's under your foot. He puts all things under. If you've got a message for the devil, write it on the bottom of your shoe. That's where he is, down there. But if you'll do it daily, then he won't get a foothold. He won't get an advantage. So he gave you power to tread daily on this thing. James 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." In other words, doesn't give in to it. He doesn't yield to it. Right? If you endure temptation, that means you don't give in to it. "And blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved or tried or approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.'" Wow. Well, you know, God's testing me. Oh, no, wait, whoa. "Let no one say, when I'm tempted by God." I think the Bible tells us a lot of things to say. It tells us a lot of things not to say. This is one of those things we don't need to say. Well, God will never put more on you than you can handle. Wait a minute, put more on you? You mean that the temptations coming on you are from God? The Bible says they're from the devil. And it says, "Let no one say that when you are tempted, that I'm tempted by God." Why is that? Because God is life, and God is victory. And God is into you making it and going over and overcoming the temptation. God provides the way of escape, not the temptation. God, you're not fighting God, see? He's your help and your hope. He's not your enemy. He's your ally. The enemy is very plain. It's the devil, the adversary of the devil, who is the tempter, who tempts, tests, tries, and so on. It says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Don't believe that? I don't know. I just believe that. How about y'all? You know? What does that mean? I wonder what that means. I mean, what's the deeper meaning here? I just think it means what it says. I don't think there's any deeper meaning there. It just says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.'" So that would mean I shouldn't say I'm tempted by God. Wouldn't that mean I should not say I'm tempted by God? Would you get that out of that? I mean, it, okay. All right. Now, you can't be too smart to get this, but you can't be too dumb to get it. If you just read it, it just means what it says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. And then he explains a little bit. He says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That's what the devil works with, the flesh, the desires. And he draws you away. Hey, here's the fruit. See, it's good to eat. That's how he drew Adam and Eve away. Flesh. That's he started with Jesus turning these stones to bread because he was hungry. See, flesh. Starts with the flesh. The devil always works from the outside in. You know, good looking woman, good looking guy, you know, or something along those lines, or wild partiers. I don't know, you know what the temptation is. It's different with everybody. But he starts with the flesh. And then he works into your soul, and then he wants your worship. He wants you to finally just worship him. That's the way he worked with Jesus, but it didn't work with Jesus, obviously. He didn't give in to it because he kept quoting Scripture and he resisted the devil. Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he, being tempted, he's able to succor us or to help us, to strengthen us who are tempted. He knows what we're going through, and he's given us an out. Now you got to look for it. You say, well, I've given in. Well, repent, God will forgive you. Are you with me? He is a forgiving God. But God didn't write, listen, God didn't write the Bible so you could continually get forgiveness. Now stay with me on this point. Now God will forgive you if you keep repenting, sure. But see, the point of the Bible is not that you continually sin. 1 John 2, John says, I write these things unto you, little children, that you sin not. Amen. The purpose of the Bible is so we quit sinning. That's the way you keep getting forgiveness. Now, thank God he does forgive us, but see, God wants us to grow up and get over the sin. Yeah. And living holy is a lot better than having to get forgiven. Well, you just ask yourself, would you rather get a healing every week or just walk in divine health? Oh, come on, I'd a whole lot rather have the health, wouldn't you? Than get the healing all the time. Now, it's there, but I'd a whole lot rather just have the health. Would you rather just be forgiven any time you needed it or just not need it? I'd a whole lot rather just not sin. Amen. And not need it. See, and God's trying to help us and teach us how to overcome the temptation, recognize the temptation, and resist the temptation with the Word. And we don't even need to be forgiven because we haven't sinned. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get to the point we don't sin. I don't think so, not in this life. We will when we get there, but we will get better at it. We should get better at it. As Christians, as believers, we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we should begin to live more holy. As we, you know, now, we're going to get mad, bitter, whatever. You're going to have to repent. But see, you should do that less and less and less and less.
Amen.
Hello. Glory. Does that help anybody?
Yes.